شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، yesterday we were discussing the sunan, or the voluntary deeds that one should do, or the recommended deeds rather that one should do in ihram. And we mentioned ghusl at the time of ihram, to put on some perfume before starting ihram, to wear for the men two garments, and it's preferable to have them white, wear them white, and to pray in the valley of Al-Aqiq, and then to raise the voice with talbiyah, and then to say tahmid and tasbih and takbir. That's where we got yesterday, before ihlal, which means before talbiyah, before declaring ihram, to say that, as is reported by Anas radiallahu anhu, that he said, صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن معه المدينة الظهر أربعة والعصر بذي الحليفة ركعتين, which means Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم prayed and we were with him in Medina ظهر four ركعات. Then he started on his trip for Hajj, and he got to Al-Hulayfa and he prayed عصر two ركعات only, which means he made قصر. ثم بات بها حتى أصبح, and then he slept there until the morning. ثم ركب حتى استوت به البيداء, and then he rode until the desert was open in front of his eyes, and he said he حمد الله وسبح وكبر. He said الحمد لله سبحان الله الله أكبر. ثم أهل بحج وعمرة, then he said لبيك اللهم بحج وعمرة, which means before talbiyah he said Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. And it is recommended to face the Qibla, as we said also yesterday, because of the hadith of Nafi', that Nafi' is the son of Ibn Umar. He said, كان ابن عمر إذا صلى بالغداة بذي الحليفة أمر براحلته فرحلت ثم ركب فإذا استوت به استقبل القبلة قائما ثم يلبي وزعم أزعم أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فعل ذلك. Is in Bukhari, which means, and the previous one also is in Bukhari, which means that Ibn Umar used, when he going to Hajj, that is, when he, or Umrah, when he prays the morning prayer in Dhul Hulayfa, which means he used to do like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sleep there and then doesn't start on his trip for Mecca until after he prayed Fajr prayer. So after praying the morning prayer in the Hulayfa, he commands that his animal be prepared for him, and he rides on it, and then once he is on it and he's ready for the trip, he turns the animal towards Al-Qibla, standing, and he makes talbiyah. Standing, I don't know what it means, other than that he would stand in the, what you call these things where you, but he was only camel. What are the things that you put your feet on?
On a horse?
Yeah, on a horse.
Stirrups.
Stirrups? So I don't know, I don't think there's something like that for the camel. Maybe there is, but I don't think so. But anyways, it says qa'iman, standing. He faces the Qibla standing and he says the talbiyah. And that is what we find out if this is true, inshallah, from other sources, that it is recommended to stand up when making talbiyah. But we will find out. But at least to face the Qibla for now. On entering Mecca, what are the recommended deeds when a person gets to Mecca? First, al-mabitu bi dhitwa wal-ikhtisar dukhuli Mecca wa dukhuluha nahara. It is recommended to spend a night in a place called dhitwa. That is, again, for people, especially for people who are coming from Medina. And to take a bath before entering Mecca, preparing oneself for entering Mecca. And this again is mostly for people who are traveling by land and whose trip is very long, so that they take a bath in Medina and maybe they don't get to Mecca until a few days later. So it's recommended to take another bath just before entering Mecca. But for a person who makes ihram, starts his ihram, let's say in Damascus, he takes the bath and then he wears his ihram, and then he gets on the airplane, and then 2 hours later he is in Jeddah, and shortly after that he can be in Mecca. So there's no need for him to do that, even though it is possible to do that. So if a person wants to do it, there are showers in the pilgrims airport in Jeddah. I don't know if any of you has been there. It is the airport in Jeddah that they open only during Hajj time. And that section has big bathrooms and they have showers in them. So you can take a shower there, and it is, you know, you can take it properly according to the Sunnah. They sell soap which doesn't have perfume on it, so that it is permissible to use it even if you have ihram. So even though you are in the state of ihram already when you get to Jeddah, but you can take a shower or a bath just before you head towards Mecca, because sometimes the procedures in the airport in Jeddah may take a long time. For some people, I know people that they stayed in the airport for 24 hours. Some people hopefully do not have to spend that much. On two occasions, I remember the two occasions that I went for Hajj, we spent a long time, but not that long, a number of hours, 5, 6, 7 hours. And this is like standard for people who are going for Hajj. Different procedures. They usually make it as hard as possible. I don't know why, but it is usually. And you find people sleeping in the airport. They have musallayat, like small masjids all around the airport. So people are sitting there praying, sitting, reading Quran, lying down. It's normal there. And they have restaurants there, like the sort of fast food restaurants. So it's like a big town almost. And they have shopping places. You can buy ihram clothes, belts to put your money in them, sandals, different things. Soap without perfume, as I said, and so on. So whatever you need, you'll find it there, because they have so much experience with what the pilgrims need every year, so they provide it. But in case you have to spend such a long time there, then before you leave, when you know that they tell you that we are ready now, our bus is coming in about half an hour, which means 2 hours normally. So that means you can go and take a shower and get ready for the trip. And the trip that normally takes about, I forgot, it's like 40 miles between, or 40 kilometers, it's 40 to 50 kilometers between there and Mecca. And during regular times, it takes less than an hour. But during Hajj time, it takes much longer for some reason. Especially if you are with a group, in a large bus or something like that. They stop, there are checkpoints where they check the passports and so on. So that may take very long. And I remember the first time that we went, it took us the whole night to get just from Jeddah to Mecca. We prayed Fajr on the way, in a mosque on the way. So it took about 5 or 6 hours to get from Jeddah to Mecca, when it usually takes 1 hour or less. So be prepared for that, and it doesn't hurt if you find that you have extra time to go and take a shower, because the facilities are ready, prepared, and it is very easy to do it. It is recommended to enter Mecca during day if the person has the option, of course. Like, person is riding and so on, he sleeps in some place, like the Tua in the case of the Prophet ﷺ, and then after that go on and in the morning and enter Mecca during the day. Nafa, same hadith, reports that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, when he entered Mecca, or as close as possible to Al-Haram, he became very close to the general area of Mecca, he stops talbiyah, he stops saying labbaik Allahumma labbaik, and then he spends the night in Dhitua, and in that place called Dhitua, and then he prays morning there, takes a bath, and he told them that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do that. And it is recommended if a person can enter Mecca to enter it from Thaniyya al-Ulya, the uppermost bend. It's a place in Mecca called Thaniyya al-Ulya. Again, as I said, all of these are with the person having the option to do what he wants. In most cases, for people coming from other cities, they don't have the option and they don't know the places to know which is the Thaniyya al-Ulya, which is Thaniyya al-Wusta or Thaniyya al-Dunya or whatever they are. He wouldn't know. It says that Ibn Umar says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to enter Mecca from Thaniyya al-Ulya, the upper band, and exit from the lower band, Thaniyya al-Sufla. When يقدم رجله اليمنى عند دخول المسجد, it's recommended to enter the Masjid al-Haram, with the right foot, as always, and to say أعوذ بالله العظيم وبوجهه الكريم وسلطانه القديم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله اللهم صل على محمد وسلم اللهم افتح لي أبواب رحمتك وعليك السلام ورحمة الله. Which means it is recommended to say, as we heard, أعوذ بالله العظيم, I seek refuge in Allah the Great, بوجهه الكريم, and in His honored or honorable face, وسلطانه القديم, and His eternal dominion, من الشيطان الرجيم, from the outcast Satan. بسم الله, in the name of Allah, اللهم صل على محمد الله, have your salah upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma iftah li abwaaba rahmatik, wa Allah open for me the gates of your mercy. And then when he sees the house for the first time, which means Al-Kaaba, it is recommended to raise his hands, because it has been confirmed, this has been confirmed from Ibn Abbas. It was not confirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Ibn Abbas only. And say a dua, whatever dua he wants. And if he wants, he can say the dua that Umar used to say when he saw the Kaaba, which is Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam fahayyina rabbana bis-salam. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam fahayyina rabbana bis-salam, which means, oh Allah, you are as-salam, peace. You are peace. And from you is peace. So greet us, our Lord, with peace. And then for tawaf, of course, once a person sees a Kaaba, he goes and performs tawaf. And normally what happens is that people first go to their hotel and drop their belongings, as-salamu rahmatullah, or wherever they are staying, drop their belongings, and depending on how tired or not tired they are, some people decide to go for takes a nap or some sleep, and others decide to go right away. Most people usually are anxious to go down to Al-Haram and start their Umrah. So whichever is the case, once a person enters Al-Kaaba, Masjid Al-Haram, and he sees Kaaba, he says that dua, it is recommended. And then when he starts his tawaf, it is recommended to take, for the men of course, to take their upper garment and put it under their under their armpit, upper garment on the right side, put it under their armpit and turn it around to the left shoulder, so that the right armpit, the right shoulder is exposed. This is because of the hadith of Ya'la bin Umayyah, that when the Prophet ﷺ made his tawaf, he made it muttabi'a. Inna nabiyya tawafa muttabi'a, which means exposing his right shoulder. Only in the tawaf. As we said, people usually make a mistake and they think they should do it throughout Hajj. All through Hajj, even in the prayer. This is wrong. Only in tawaf, when person makes the first tawaf only, or even the first tawaf, Allahu Akbar. And then istilam al-hajar al-aswad, it is recommended to get hold or put your hand on al-hajar al-aswad, the black stone, if you are able to reach it, and most people cannot. It is almost impossible or close to impossible to reach it these days unless one fights for it. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he comes to Mecca, he goes first and holds the black stone in the beginning of his tawaf. رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين يخدو مكة إذا استلم الركن الأسود أول ما يطوف يخب ثلاثة أطواف من السبع, which means in the beginning of his tawaf he would hold the black stone and then make the first three turns of tawaf with a jogging or going very fast, and then the other four normal walk. We get to this, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Maybe so many people they thought, they heard other people. That's right. So, let's see. Well, we'll mention it since I don't know how soon we'll get to it. So, since it's relevant now, that it is, of course, when you are in Hajj, throughout Hajj, one is not supposed to hurt any Muslim. And hurting Muslims could invalidate the Hajj. So, and during Tawaf, people are not supposed to push each other, to hurt each other, or anything like that. And you'll see that people or curse each other, or say anything bad, or hurt other Muslims with words, or with touching, with actions. So sometimes you find yourself being pushed from behind, like so many people are pushing you forward, or to one side or the other, so that you're about to hit other people without your choice. And sometimes the people in front of you happen to be women. So you have to hold back as much as you can so that you do not hurt others. Now, the people somehow get so stubborn near the black stone. When they get to the line, there is a line on the ground which shows a wide, like one of the, what you call it, a blot. A blot. Blocks, something like tiles. The tiles on the ground, they make them different. They are all white, but at the place which is supposed to be level with the black stone, they make them different color. Is it green or black? Black. So it's black. So they are black in color, and people are making tawaf. Once they get to that black, they think they are supposed to stand and face the black stone, so they turn and face the black stone, and they start saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and they say different things. Almost they are making full prayer while facing the black stone, so that delays everybody else. So it puts a halt to all the people who are turning around right at this point. And you have to find your way through them or wait for them to let you pass. And they don't know that when you get to the black stone, if you cannot reach it, then you point with your hand to it, and that's enough. But people, you know, think that they have to do much more and to say lots of adhkar that have no basis from the sunnah. Kissing the stone, if one has the ability to kiss it, and this is now like a very rare, extremely rare thing in our time. And then sujood, you know, like in the last Hajj, my son Abdullah was with us, and now we lost him for about 2 hours. He was supposed to meet us, and then we said, where have you been? He said, I went and touched the black stone. And he said, how could you do it, I mean, with all these people? He said, some people, what they do, they go from the, you know, the corner where the black stone is, the corner before it, they go there and stand on the edge, which is inclined, and it hurts the feet. He said his feet were hurting. So people stand on that inclined edge in line. They make a line. And then, you know, the police allow them, those people who are standing in this line and taking so much trouble to get to the black stone, eventually they get to it. Sometimes it takes very long because there are those other people who are coming across and they push their way. And sometimes there are people who are disabled or whatever, and the police gives them priority. But finally, those people in line, they get their chance. So he stood in line patiently for 1 or 2 hours until he finally was able to get to it. So
when they get to it, they take only 1 second, because the people...
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's right. So imagine, you know, this poor stone that 2.5 million people or more want to touch it. SubhanAllah. And then it is recommended, if one can, to make sujood on the black stone. But we know that the black stone, you cannot reach it now. It is in an enclosure, and they have, because it was broken through the history to pieces, and they put it back together, and they put some kind of metals in between to hold it together again. When it was stolen from Al-Kaaba, it was stolen by Qaramita during the history. And there was a lot of damage that happened to it. So when it was put back, if you see its pictures now, you see that there is something like lead in between. They have, mended it in such a way that it is much smaller than before, and it is hardly possible to touch it with your hand. So how about with your forehead? And then it is recommended to say takbir when you get to the corner, to that corner where the black stone is. Because of the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, طاف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالبيت على بعيره كلما أتى الركن أشار إليه بشيء كان عنده وكبر. Which means the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم once made tawaf around the house on his camel. And every time he reached that corner, he pointed to it with something that he had with it. يعني maybe a stick, maybe whatever something he had, and كبر, say Allahu Akbar. So that's what you see. Say when you reach the position of the black stone, you point with your hand and say Allahu Akbar if you can't reach it. So there are a number of other recommended acts that you do during tawaf. So inshallah we will talk about them and talk about sa'i, and after that we'll talk about the after the recommended acts about the obligations and the pillars. هذا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. بسم الله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, so we continue with the regulations of Hajj. I think this is tape number 4 or 5, I forget, but we have been consistently doing like half an hour every day or little under, and then the rest, you know, I leave it on so that it catches the part of the prayer. So we continue today with as much as possible. I don't know if next week we can finish Hajj from this book at least. We have not been covering it only from one book, otherwise we could have finished a while ago or about now. But we have been doing other things also and talking about other issues. So yesterday we were talking about the sunan or the recommended deeds for Dukhul Makkah. We mentioned that, and then about tawaf, during tawaf. So among the recommended deeds we said al-tiba, which means to uncover the right shoulder on the tawaf al-qudum when we first enter Mecca and make tawaf, and then to hold the black stone if you can, and to kiss it if you can, and to make sujood on it if you can. All of this has been reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but none of them is usually possible, especially the second and third, because as we said, the black stone is now inside an enclosure, and if you are lucky if you can put your hand through and touch it, which not too many people can do that in our time. And then whenever you reach the black stone, to say Allahu Akbar, and if you are not, and to run on the first three ashwat or turns, or to make a fast walk if you can. As we said, usually you cannot part of these turns, you can, but then you find that people come in your way and so on, and it will become impossible unless you bump into some people, which you should avoid. And then If, as we said, if you cannot reach the black stone, you point to it with your hand and you say Allahu Akbar. So you do not need to touch it. And what some ignorant people do, they turn towards it and they say Allahu Akbar, and they say some other dhikr, standing, coming to a full halt in that place on the line, the black line which marks the position of the black stone. Because the way it is, let's say that this is Al-Kaaba as a square, and one corner of it is a black stone, let's say this corner. So what they do, they draw a line on the ground of marble, a black marble here. They make it contrary to the white marble around it, so that whoever is making tawaf, even the second floor, when he gets to this point, he knows that he is at the corner adjacent to the black stone. So one can turn, or turn his hand or his face, and say Allahu Akbar, because it's usually too far from it to touch it. So some of the ignorant people, what they do is they stand and they face it with both hands, they turn all their bodies and they start saying long dhikr, and some of them even start making sujood in their place, and that, you know, stops everybody else or delays everybody else. And there's nothing in the sunnah in that regard. You make sujood in it if you can reach it when you are there, right next to it, not far away. If you are far away, all you do is say Allahu Akbar.
What is the second floor?
Yeah, as you said, the haram is three floors. There is the, we showed the picture and the replica before. No. You are not here. So what it is that Kaaba is, let's say here,
right.
And then there is an open space around it. Mm-hmm. That's called As-Sahan, or the courtyard around it. And then also, if you go up a few steps from each side, that's the first floor, which is also, you know, this you can call it first floor, and also the three steps that you go up, also the first store, the first floor. So people can make turns, tawaf, on all around this first floor. There's also a basement, by the way, but the basement is not connected, so you cannot make tawaf there. There are sections which are under the ground, so you can walk down and pray, and you cannot see the Kaaba there. But it is only limited sections and parts of under the Kaaba. So that's the first floor. The second floor is above, and that is where the roofed area, we said there is a courtyard, and then there is a roofed area. And over the roofed area, there is a second floor. And over it, there is a third floor, which is the roof. So people also can make tawaf on the roof.
There is ground, first, again, so there are three levels.
No, no. The ground is the same as the first.
So ground first is one, and the second, and the third is the roof?
Yeah, the third is the roof. The third is the roof.
Three levels of people are making tawaf.
Yeah, exactly. But as we said, the first level is divided into two sections. One of them is a little higher than the other by a few steps. Like five steps or so. Yeah.
So you're actually looking down the Kaaba when you make it down.
Yeah, the people who are on the second floor and third floor, they can look down and see the other people going around, because they make their tawaf close to the rail sometimes. And sometimes they cannot, because some people, again, you can see lots of ignorance. Some people don't choose to sit except in the place where people are supposed to be making tawaf. And some of them are women. So when you get to them, you have to turn around, and that delays everybody. So if they go and sit in a different place, that will make it much easier for people to make tawaf. Okay. So of the recommended things also is to hold the rukn al-yamani, the Yemeni corner. If this is the black stone, we said at this corner, then this is the Yemeni corner, okay, which is the corner just before it. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. And tawaf always takes place in this direction, okay, and then anti-clockwise. If you are looking up from above, then it is anti-clockwise, opposite to the direction of the handles of the clock. So rukn al-Yamani, you get to it before you get. Yeah, do you have any picture?
Oh.
No.
Does the Yemeni have anything to do with Yemen?
Yeah, because it's on the side of Yemen. Where is that?
Yeah, here it is. So, see, here's Kaaba, and this open area is the first floor. And this here, under the covered area here, that you go into it by going up a few steps here, as you can see them, this is also still the first floor. Okay? And then this lighted area here, you can see this is the second floor. This is an old picture, I believe, because you cannot see the roof here. There is a roof here, but you know it's here. I think I have a feeling that this is a very old picture, but still you can see people up on the roof. Yeah. This is the roof.
Really,
this is the top level.
It's really hard to get around in here.
Yeah, this seems to be in Tawaf al-Ifada. At Tawaf al-Ifada it is so full packed, more than any other time. Mm-hmm. So all levels are filled and everybody is moving very, very slow. So it takes, instead of the usual, you know, it usually takes in regular days other than Hajj times or Ramadan times, it takes probably about at most half an hour to make the full Tawaf seven times. But during that time it took us, you know, in last Hajj it took us more than a few hours, I forgot how many, and we had to do it on the top level. Mm-hmm. Which was at least crowded, but the distance is longest. Mm-hmm. So by the time you finish, you are totally
exhausted. It's like 10 minutes.
We couldn't do the sa'i right after it, so we had to go and wait. Sa'i, it seems, goes here, huh?
How long does it take for one on the top?
On the top? Yeah. I don't know, but it's quite very, very long. It's like, you know, probably 2 miles every turn.
2 miles?
I think so. Yeah, it's very, very long.
That's going to be long walk, can't
you? I'm guessing, I mean, it probably is less, but it's quite long. Mm. Because if you think that from here to here,
mm-hmm,
is about how much I say, I mentioned how long it was the other day. It's like 0.7 kilometers, I forgot. About half a mile,
one way.
So to think about turning 3-4 times, and this is about comparable to this length. So it's probably closer to 2 miles each turn.
Okay, 3.5 miles just for the sa'i.
Yeah. No, for sa'i it would be the same. On any level it would be exactly the same. Because
no, I mean, just the sa'i area with what we do it.
Yeah.
3.5 miles.
Yeah.
Turn up those fans.
Right.
Cool.
Right. So anyways, and this is Zamzam here. This is it's underground. All you see here is place where people go on the stairs here to go underground into where Zamzam is. Now it is underground.
It's crowded to get down to it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's hard to get down to it.
Yeah. So anyways, so what I was saying is that, let's see if we can see the black stone from here. Yeah.
If Zamzam is here, then black stone
it's
should be
this
here.
Corner here.
Yeah.
I think it's this corner.
Right, this corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, this corner.
Yeah. So the black stone is this corner here. And you can see Hajar Ismail here. It's on the other side of the black stone. That is where we said that this part is still part of Al-Kaaba, but it is not built. And then this corner, this corner, the other corner before the black stone corner, is Arukn al-Yamani, the Yamani corner. And people make turn like this, in this direction. Okay. So it is recommended, alaykum salam, it is recommended to hold to this corner as well, to hold it when you are making Hajj, Tawaf, because of the hadith of Ibn Umar, who said, I have not seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hold of the house except the two corners of the Yemen, which means this is Yemeni corner and this is Yemeni corner. And this means, you know, contrary to what I said a few classes back, that the Hijr of Ismail on the southern side, actually it's not. Because these two corners are the Yemeni corners from the side of Yemen. And Yemen is to the south, so this must be on the north side of Al-Kaaba. We can verify this with some maps which show the directions of Kaaba. I'm sure that some of those are available, but It appears to me now that the Hijr of Ismail is on the northern side of Al-Kaaba, and this is the southern side, because he called Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu called these two corners both Yemeni corners, to the side of Yemen, and Yemen is to the south of Al-Kaaba, of Mecca. But usually we call this corner where the black stone is, we do not call it Rukn al-Yamani, we only call this corner, because the other one is known as the black stone. So the other one is Rukn al-Yamani, the Yemeni corner. But both of them are to the side of Yemen. And the other two corners are called Ruknan al-Shamiyan. Yeah, that's right. They call them Ruknan al-Shamiyan, the Shami corners, because they are towards the direction of Sham.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, Yemeni and Shami.
That's it, Yemeni and Shami.
And the one that's adjacent, the opposite to the Hajar Aswad is?
One is.
Nothing?
Okay, one is no. Yemeni, one is Iraqi.
This side is the southern side.
Mm-hmm.
One corner of it is Hajar al-Aswad.
Mm-hmm.
And this other side here, opposite to it.
Opposite to this, like if it is like this?
Yeah.
Opposite,
like so if right. We said this is the black stone here, and this is the other Rukn al-Yamani. Both of these two sides are to the south.
Okay.
This is the direction of Yemen. So let's say in this direction here, let's say this is south, northeast, north. Yeah, like this. So in terms of the directions here in this place, this is where the black stone is, and this is where the other Rukn al-Yamani. Both of them are on the south side. And then Hijr Ismail is here. It's this short wall that they have it here. And both of these corners are called the Shami corners, because they are the directions of Sham. So they are on the northern side of Al-Kaaba. These are on the southern side of Al-Kaaba. And this is where Maqam Ibrahim is, close to the black stone. And the people make tawaf in this direction. And so the sunnah, it is recommended, the Prophet ﷺ held to this corner and to the black stone, of course, but not to the Shami corners. So it is not recommended to hold to this corner or to this corner.
What for?
As a form of ibadah, you know, like you hold the black stone.
Oh, okay.
To touch that wall. But what some people do, like they take their clothes or they bring extra clothes with them and they rub them on the wall for barakah, and then they take them and do other things that have no basis.
You don't wash it?
Huh?
After that, they don't wash it?
Yeah, probably
they
don't.
I don't want
to be near them. So, and it is recommended when you are between the two corners, between Rukn al-Yamani and the other Rukn al-Yamani, as you are approaching the black stone, to say the dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, which is in Al-Quran. It is in Al-Quran when Allah mentioned the Hajj. He says after that, and some people say, رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. This is from a Hassan hadith. And then after, also it is recommended after with tawaf, it is recommended to go and pray two rak'at behind Maqam Ibrahim. Maqam Ibrahim, we said, is on this side, near, close to the black stone,
mm-hmm.
on this side, behind the Kaaba, according to this picture.
So what are the people who are making the tawaf and the tawaf look?
Yeah, they stand anywhere. It is best to stand in a place,
so
you know,
comparable,
yeah, that is in line with Maqam Ibrahim, and pray to rak'at. But if they cannot, they can pray anywhere.
Yeah,
it is not
people think that they should pray right there.
Yeah, that's the best. But not everybody can be there. So then you can be behind.
You can pray during Umrah, but not during the Hajj time.
Yes, yeah, very hard.
You can do all the year long, just like
right.
September, October,
This is because of the hadith of Ibn Umar that the Prophet ﷺ came and made tawaf around the house 7 times. Then he prayed behind the maqam 2 rak'at, and then he went and made tawaf between Safa and Marwa.
What
does it mean? What does it mean?
لا لا لا
لا
لا
هلا لا يجي وحكي هون هن مخبيين والله حسبنا الله and then he prayed two rak'at and then he prayed
هذا مش لك ومش لصالح ولا غير صالح هذا ميل المسلمين اسمع هذا انت صرك من على بكره
فيها حط الميكروفون على اسمع حسن وصالح
ركز منهم مش هذا الصبي تبعهم
Then he made the two rak'at and then he went and made tawaf between Safa and Marwa. Okay, and then after he praying two rak'at, he went and made tawaf, which means sa'i, between Safa and Marwa. And then it is recommended when going to the maqam of Ibrahim to pray the two rak'at, to recite the part of ayah from the Quran, which says وَاتَّخِذُ مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى and take from the place, from the standing place of Ibrahim, a prayer place, or have it as a prayer place for you, the place where Ibrahim stood. And it is recommended to read in the two rak'at that he prays there, Surah Al-Kafirun and Surah Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, like what you read in the Fajr prayer, when the Sunnah prayer for Fajr. It is recommended to pray in the first rak'ah, Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, the second rak'ah, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. Or when you wake up at night to pray the night prayer, it is recommended to start with two short rak'ahs. In the first rak'ah, you read Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, in the second rak'ah, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. So similarly here. This is because of the hadith of Jabir that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached the maqam of Ibrahim, he read that. We read this hadith before, and we said that the way they were mentioned was in reverse order. The hadith mentioned of Jabir in Bukhari, he mentioned Qul Huwallahu Ahad before Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, but it seems probably from some other reports that you do not reverse the sequence, but you take them in the sequence. And what he mentioned was what, you know, you read without caring about the sequence. And then it is also recommended to hold to the wall that is between the corner and the door of Mecca. Now the door of Mecca, again, if we said that this is south and this is north, okay, where is now the black stone is here. And Rukn Yamani there, the Hijr of Ismail is here, and these are the Shami or the northern corners, these are the southern corners, this is where Maqam Ibrahim is, here is Maqam Ibrahim, and across from it almost exactly is the door of Al-Kaaba. So it's here, and there's a short space between the two. I forgot how long it is, but something like probably what, 5 feet, 10 feet, something very short, not very long, maybe 5 feet. So this distance between the corner and the door, and the door is high above the level, so you cannot go and enter straight like a normal door unless there is a step or you jump or climb or something. So anyways, between this corner and this corner and this door, it is recommended to hold to the wall that is there if you can. And again, it's sort of impossible to do it in these days. And to put your chest and your face and your arms against that wall, if you can. Now people, you see them doing it all around the Kaaba, and there is no basis for that. The only place where it's recommended to do it is that small part of Al-Kaaba, if you can. وَأَنْ يَضَعَ صَدْرَ وَجَهَ وَدِرَعَيَ لِحَدِيثِ عَمْرُ بْنُ شُعَيْبٍ عَنْ أَبِيهِ عَنْ جَدِّهِ. This Hassan hadith, this isnad is Hassan. He said, I made tawaf with Abdullah bin Amr, and then when we finished the seven times, we made ruku' in the behind the Kaaba. And then فَقُلْتُ أَلَا تَتَعَوَّذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ النَّارِ. I said, shouldn't you ask Allah to protect you from the hellfire? He said, أعوذ بالله من النار. Then he went, فاستلم الركن, and he held to the corner, and then, which means where the black stone is. ثم قام بين الحجر والباب. Then he stood between the stone and the door. فألصق صدره ويديه وخده. And he put both his chest, his hands, and his face against the wall. And he said, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing that. And then it is recommended to drink from Zamzam. And after you finish this, you go down to Zamzam, you wash your head with it, and drink from it, as we heard from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the description of the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, this is for Tawaf. Now, for Sa'i, Jazin Salah or Lafiban? Okay, so we got 1 minute, we can finish some more. So, the Sunan of Sa'i is first holding to the corner as before, which means that's still, you know, towards the end. You finish Tawaf and then you go to Sa'i. And then you read, when you get to the Safa, you say, إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله فمن حج البيت واعتمر فلا جناح عليه أن يطوف بهما ومن تطوع خيرا فإن الله شاكر عليم. This is from Surah Al-Baqarah. And then he says, نبدأ بما بدأ به الله. This is as Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said. So we start with what Allah started with. Allah mentioned Safa before Marwa in the Quran by saying, إن الصفا والمروة. So we start Sa'i by Safa first, then Marwa. وذلك إذا دنا من الصفا للسعي. You say this as you are coming close to Safa to start your Sa'i. And then you stand on the Safa, face the Qibla, and say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And then this is not from the hadith of Jabir, this is from other authentic reports, but what we mentioned from the hadith of Jabir is to say, la ilaha illallah wahdahu أنجز وعده ونصر عبده وهزم الأحزاب جنده. And then you make dua with whatever you want. You repeat this 3 times. And then, as we described when we went over the hadith of Jabir, make sa'i between, when you go down, you get to the green mark and the green light, you run fast between those two marks, and then you walk the rest of the distance. When you get to the Marwa, it is also recommended to do the same. These are all recommended things. Suppose somebody did not make dhikr or did not run, his sa'i is acceptable, but he has lost some of the value because he is not following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So that's it for the sunnah of sa'i. When you get to Marwa, you do the same. You turn to the Kaaba and you say the same things. When you go back to the Safa, you do the same thing. And that is 7 times. As we said, so tomorrow inshallah we talk about the sunan of going to Mina, and then after that we talk about the pillars of Hajj, the obligations of Hajj, and the some other things that inshallah we'll wrap down.